This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in, and we trust the program will be a help and a blessing to you. Now, again, if you want to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. We do appreciate those of you who take the time to write and who pray for this ministry. If you contact me by mail, you can have a copy of this program on a CD. We will also take your prayer requests. If you go to my website, you can read my weekly meditation there, as well as re-listen to these programs there. You can also email prayer requests from the website, so you will need a pencil and a piece of paper to write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now, we are using 2 Peter 3 and verse 18 as sort of a base verse for the subject matter that we're trying to cover right now. That was something we talked about when we were looking at Peter and his life and his writings. He says at the very end of his second epistle, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." And so we're trying to go through the scriptures and learn a little something about the Lord Jesus Christ. We're trying to look at how he fulfilled prophecy when he came the first time. And we're trying to look at what his life was like while he was here. We're trying to look at the way he presented the gospel. We're trying to look at the change he makes in the lives of those who believe the gospel. We're trying to look at the character and the glories that he displayed while he was here. We just want to know a lot more about him, because if we're going to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, then we have to spend time meditating on the blessings that we received because the Lord came into this world and revealed God to us. It would be nice if we were all Christ-like. We are not all Christ-like. And I have to admit that even after we are saved, we are not all Christ-like. But that's why we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we consider him, we will want to be more like him. And the more we are like him, the more we will be able to serve him. And the more we serve him, the more we are going to help others with their questions and problems and difficulties in accepting him as the Messiah. Now, as we look at the Lord Jesus, and we're going to begin looking at many of the prophecies of the Old Testament that are fulfilled in the New Testament. And as we do that, it also gives us confidence in the Word of God. Now, I don't mean these programs to be what we call apologetics. I don't mean for them to defend the faith that we believe. But yet, in a sense, I suppose we always do need to give a reason for the reason of the hope that is in us with meekness and fear. We're to give an answer for the reason of the hope that is in us. And so when we begin to see how carefully the Bible has been put together, and how that even though Isaiah may have been written by two different authors, and yet they had a consistent message indicating that there's really only one author, and that author is the Holy Spirit. When we begin to see these things and begin to understand that the prophecies that were written in the Old Testament were written between 4,000 and 700, sometimes 400 years before the Lord came, and yet they were fulfilled when the Lord came. When we see that, it gives us confidence that the Bible that we're reading is really the truth. And we can be like Paul, who when he was on his journey to Rome and the ship was being about to be destroyed, he said that God had revealed to him that the ship would be destroyed, but there'd be no loss of life. And he says, "I believe God that it shall be even as he has told me." And we can believe God that when we trust in the work and person of Christ, that our sins are forgiven, and we are made children of God, and we have a home in heaven. But we must also believe God when he says that that the law was given that every mouth might be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. And so it's a guilty people that need a loving Savior. And we can believe God that Christ is the only way, the only truth, and the only way to get spiritual life. We can believe God when he says that, when we study these prophecies and see how they give us the groundwork, the evidence that what we believe is really true. Now, one of the first prophecies that I want to look at is found in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. This is when God is talking to the serpent after the fall in the garden, after Eve has listened to the lie of Satan and has partaken of the forbidden fruit. And God says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, that is, between serpent and the woman, and between your seed, and his seed would be obviously people that are born in a natural way with the nature of sin, and the nature of sin, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed, your offspring, and her seed or her offspring. And then her seed is in most translations capitalized, because her seed includes the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's going to be enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed, your offspring, and her seed. And it's quite clear that there's a double meaning to that word seed. Her offspring would be her natural children, but it's also going to be the Lord Jesus Christ, because the next phrase says, he, that is, her seed, shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. So the Lord Jesus is going to be victorious over Satan, and yet he's going to be bruised by Satan. And so, in a sense, now that we have the New Testament, we can see that this is speaking of the sufferings of Christ when he comes into this world and is rejected of men and is sent to the cross of Calvary. He shall bruise his head, but he would not be able to take his life, because the Lord voluntarily gave up his life. And the head here is likely talking about the authority that Christ would have. And so Satan is trying to convince the world even today that the Lord is an imposter and that he has no authority. And so that truth has been bruised. There's been an attack made against that truth, but yet because of the resurrection of Christ, he bruise Satan's heel. And when you bruise Satan's heel, I think that's speaking of making it difficult for him to walk or to make progress with regard to his program. So the point is just exactly how those Old Testament images should be understood and appreciated today. It's quite clear there would be enmity between Satan and the woman and her seed, which would be Christ, but ultimately Christ would be victorious. And when we come to Galatians, we see the fulfillment of that. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, but when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, that would be of Mary in particular, but then it would go back to Eve as well, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And so, if we had been Jews reading Genesis before the New Testament was written and before the Lord came, we might not fully understand that prophecy. But now we can look back and see that God was predicting that Christ was going to be the solution to the sin problem from the very beginning of our society. And so while sin entered into the world through Adam, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men because all have sinned, yet we find the solution also entered into this world through a man by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And while there's enmity between Satan and him, ultimately Satan is going to lose that battle. And recently I've been studying through the book of the Revelation with some of my friends, and the interesting part of the book of the Revelation is it's the rest of the story. And Satan is ultimately going to be cast into a place called the Lake of Fire, in Matthew it talks about it being a place where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. It's eternal torment. Satan's going to be cast there. He is going to lose this battle, even though as we go through this period of time we call our particular dispensation in history, even while we're there, while we go through that time, it appears at times through the wars and the evil dictators that have reigned on this earth that Satan has the upper hand. It even appeared that he won at the cross, but 3 days later, after the Lord had delivered up his spirit on the cross and after he'd been taken down, and those who were concerned about him had given him a king's burial, even after all of that, then he was raised from the dead. And of course today people would like to believe that that's a myth, but it's not a myth. And because he was raised from the dead, he has the victory. And it doesn't always appear that way right now, but he does have the victory, and those of us who trust in him have the same victory that he has. And I'm so thankful for that. Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. He was buried and was raised again the third day according to the scripture. And so we have confidence that the first prophecy found in Genesis 3 and verse 15 has been fulfilled. We would then go to another prophecy found in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. And this tells us where the Lord would be born. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. And in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1 we read, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. And the portion that we have quoted from Micah is quoted there. And so out of all the places where the Lord could be born, he was born in the place where the Lord said he would be born. It was the city of David. It was the place where Rachel apparently had been buried. It was an important place in the history of Israel, and that's where the Lord was born. And so just looking at those two prophecies, we begin to see how God has tried to encourage us to believe that Christ really is who he claims to be. And as we study these prophecies and study Christ, we should grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, but we can't grow in grace until we have received his salvation by grace through faith. And that's our starting point, and then we can appreciate who Christ is and what he has done for us. Now, our Heavenly Father, we do pray for thy blessing upon this program and upon those who have listened. We thank thee that thou art a gracious God, and that you do care for us, and that you have given us reason to believe in you. So we ask for these blessings in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.